back to EcoTalk, and we're going to talk money this segment. Find out a little bit more about a group called Green Century. It's an environmentally conscious family of mutual funds with strong advocacy for investor activism. Joining us is Wendy Wendland. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about Green Century. How old is it? I've been hearing more about it recently, so you must be getting more active.
Sure. Green Century was founded about 15 years ago, and it was actually founded by the state PERG organization. So if somebody's in California, they'd know CalPERG, or in Massachusetts.
Which is the Public Interest Research Group.
Correct. And we decided we needed another tool in our toolbox and decided to start a socially responsible mutual fund. And so we, you know, basically when someone invests in Green Century, they're buying into a product that screens out the worst offenders, you know, toxic chemical polluters, timber companies, nuclear energy producers. They're investing in the best companies, the Whole Foods of the world, and they're also supporting efforts to push the rest of them to do better by doing shareholder advocacy.
Mm-hmm. And you're a no-load?
No-load
fund?
Correct.
Okay, and could you explain what that means for those in the audience who haven't had the opportunity to invest yet but hope to someday, maybe soon?
You know, I personally can't explain that. I work more on the advocacy side, so
okay.
I can't tell you that much about that.
Okay. So how are you doing in terms of returns?
We are actually doing fairly comparable to the stock market, which is, you know, the theory is always that environmentally responsible companies over time are going to outperform the stock market because we're investing in companies where the managers are thinking about the future. The companies themselves probably have lower costs and lower liabilities. I mean, they're not ending up with big toxic waste cleanup problems, for instance. The products are higher quality. And right now, for instance, I mean, we have benefited greatly by all of the interest in renewable energy, you know, obviously given our energy problems. So the balanced fund has generated returns. Our one-year and three-year returns are 15%. And the equity fund, which is a separate fund, has been over 10% for those same time periods.
Okay, you mentioned Whole Foods. There's a couple of other good examples. Apple Computer, especially most recently. Apple's decided to start taking back computers, and I hope related equipment, when one buys a new Mac.
Exactly, which has been a big problem. I mean, most people don't know. I'm actually here visiting my parents this week, and they didn't realize how toxic computer monitors are. And so we've been pushing hard for the last several years to get the computer companies Dell. We've pushed on Dell and have not been totally successful there yet, but Apple has agreed to increase the recycling of the electronic computer parts from Macintosh computers, which is great.
And also iPods, since they're everywhere.
Correct.
Even though they don't take up a lot of space, they probably have good amount of chemicals in them. Another interesting example is Chemlon, which, as its name implies, Chemlon uses a lot of chemicals. What success can you claim here?
Chemlon is very interesting. You know, in a recent shareholder resolution, and what that is anyone who's a shareholder of a company can file a resolution asking the company to take a vote on a particular policy. And at any given time, you know, there might be two or three shareholder resolutions being proposed at a shareholder meeting. So at a recent Chemlon meeting, Green Century Funds had a shareholder resolution, which was a vote on whether or not the company should abandon the use of all of their chemicals and move to an entirely organic-based product and service line. I mean, again, as you said at the very beginning, Chemlon, I mean, this is a company that's their whole business is spraying chemicals to keep your lawn beautiful and green. 9.1% of the shareholders voted in favor of that. And that may not sound like a lot. I mean,
it doesn't. You know, it doesn't. Tell us why this is exciting
news.
Right.
For those of us who work, you know, I spend a lot of my time more on the political side. And, you know, there you need, in order to win, you need a majority. So you need 50, 60%. Obviously, when we're doing a shareholder resolution, that's what we want. We want 50 or 60%. We want to win the resolution. But in the shareholder world, until, you know, recently getting even 3% of the vote was considered, you know, if you got 3%, you could come back the next year and propose the resolution again. So to get 9% of the shareholders in a company like Chemlon to essentially say that they are interested in having the company look into whether or not they should consider an entirely new way of doing business is huge.
And I understand shareholders with ConocoPhillips recently voted to ask the company to eventually stay out of sensitive areas within the National
Petroleum
Reserve in Alaska.
Reserve in Alaska.
Yeah. What does that mean by eventually? I'm just wondering, is that a promise that's too far down the future to make a difference?
Yes, I think that the vote was not pull out. It's a little bit like the question of, you know, should we pull out of Iraq today or tomorrow or next week? It certainly would be better if we said, get out of there today. You know, don't go forward there today. But the fact that it was ConocoPhillips shareholders, I mean, we're talking oil company shareholders, and 25% of them, so a very large number of them, voted asking the company to recognize those sensitive areas. So just take the step of saying these are sensitive areas. You know, the National Petroleum Reserve, particularly areas near a beautiful lake up there, you know, these are, you know, important areas to recognize and eventually stay out of. So sure, a stronger resolution would have been, you know, stay out of there immediately, but you start where you can and you begin to build support in the company. And some of it's an education process. You know, these are, again, shareholders of an oil company are not thinking about, you know, drilling and the impacts of the drilling. They're just thinking about how much money they make when they get their dividends at the end of the year.
Right. Well, shareholders have to start thinking about something besides the bottom line, or at least factor the environment into the bottom line, which would be a wise thing to do, since without a habitat, none of it matters.
Correct.
How do you actually work with companies to improve their environmental performance, and do you get much resistance?
Well, at first, sometimes you just don't get anything. You begin the process by contacting a company and asking to sit down with them and talk about the issue. You know, whether it's with Whole Foods Market, for instance, is an interesting example where, you know, they're a company that, you know, most of us would think of as, a, you know, one of the good companies. And in fact, we have big holdings in Whole Foods and think they're a model company. But, you know, they're not always doing exactly the right thing either. So in that case, we had gone to Whole Foods to ask them to stop selling baby bottles and other baby products made with bisphenol A, which is an estrogen-mimicking component. So basically, you know, causes birth defects and other things. And in that case, you know, you go to the company and you initially sit down with them. And again, depending on the receptiveness of the company, they might agree eventually to meet with you, have a conversation. You know, sometimes you're meeting with a PR person who's really just trying to blow you off.
Mm-hmm.
You really try to understand the company, who makes the decisions.
The culture.
The culture of the company, and who else can you get to? And we always start with what we call more of persuasion approach. We hope to simply persuade them on the facts and the merits of the case. We might do some research.
We partner
with groups like PERG to produce good research, which demonstrates, you know, like in the case of bisphenol A, we've done a variety of studies, and academics have done a lot of studies.
Well, hopefully this is going to become easier for all of us.
Exactly. Well, it does. I mean, I think the fact that the shareholder resolutions, you know, that we're getting such good results is demonstrating that, in fact, you can win. And in the case of Whole Foods, they actually agreed to stop selling those.
Okay, Wendy, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay,
Wendy Wendland with Green Century Investments. You're listening
to
EcoTalk. Have a great green week.